Today on The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
Satan was a fallen angel, and therefore his purpose is to undercut and to destroy, to kill, to deceive, to malign, to slander all of us. And by the way, he doesn't come dressed like that in a red suit with a pitchfork and horns. He comes as a beautiful person, as a very congenial person, as a very sweet person, as a very warm, encouraging, cheerleading, someone we'd all want to listen to and learn from.
The truth is, the Bible tells us how to respond in our current cultural war. Welcome to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young. Today, Dr. Young brings you his message, A Secret Weapon. He'll share practical steps to fight and win the battle for our culture. Stay with us. The Winning Walk is coming right up. Before we get to Dr. Young, you'd probably agree we're facing a real cultural problem these days. Political division and racial tensions have seldom been higher. That's why Dr. Young wants to help you stand firm in God's Word amidst the cultural battles we're facing by sending you his brand new 7-message series, Culture Clash. This series equips you to stand for truth in our culture and push back the darkness with the power of God's Word. We'll send you Culture Clash as thanks for your gift today to help keep the proven truth of God's Word reaching you and people all over the world through this program. So call now to request your copy when you give. Call 1-800-350-WALK. 1-800-350-9255. You can also text the word winning to 41411. Text winning to 41411. We want to help you walk the winning walk with Christ every single day. So we've packed our website with practical resources to help you apply God's proven truth to your life, including books, Bible studies, and audio and video files. You can also sign up for Dr. Young's email devotional and even request personal prayer. So visit winningwalk.org for more of the proven truth and personal support you need. That's winningwalk.org. You can also follow your favorite program on Twitter. Our username is Winning Walk. That's Winning Walk. How has the Winning Walk impacted your life? Share your story with us by going to winningwalk.org/mystory. Now, here's Dr. Ed Young with today's message, A Secret Weapon.
It was a beautiful spring day. The sun was out. The sky was clear. The breeze was a cooling breeze. What a fabulous time. And a whole bunch of families went out to a field. It was a beautiful field with green grass, and the children were out there running in the fields, and the parents were standing around the fields. It was one of those glorious, we would call it bluebird days. We've had a whole bundle of them recently, and it was a time of celebration and a time of joy to see the children jumping, and they were chasing butterflies. They were all in the air when suddenly the parents noticed in the field there were land mines. And then they looked around and said, those are not butterflies. Those are bullets. Everything changed. Radically changed. Now they were on a battlefield. A war. Totally unexpected. And things that were important that day, what we're going to have for dinner tonight, and what I'll wear to work tomorrow, and what about the children's schooling, and, you know, the bed I sleep on is too hard, and all those things in wartime, in true wartime, does not make a bit of difference. Now, we've been talking about a cultural war. What is that? We talked about all the battles that we're in the culture of the United States. We dealt with those battles, and we've already talked about phase one, how we'll win the war, and now we talk about phase two, and winning the cultural war. We have to understand, I think, what I picked up from Peter Kreft, professor at Boston College, is he talked about Chuck Colson. Chuck Colson gave us these parameters, fundamental principles, all cultural wars, anytime, any place, in all of history. In all of history. This is how a culture operates. This ought to be written into our minds and hearts so we can understand, philosophically at least, and functionally at least, where we are. First of all, you have cops and conscience. Where you have a people, a culture, and they have a high degree of conscience, right and wrong, morality, you don't need a lot of cops. The crime areas is where you need cops. In other areas, you have a high degree of conscience. But where you do not have a high degree of conscience, you must have cops. So as you have more cops are needed to keep law and order and harmony and safety with people, you know your conscience is declining. Where you have fewer cops operative, you know the conscience of those people of that area is increasing. These are both good things. They complement one another. Where you have community, you don't have to worry about chaos. Where you don't have community, always you deal with chaos. And when you have chaos, the cops must come in. And if you continue to have a community that is not united, a community that is fighting, a community that has no harmony about it, always you have chaos and cops have to come in and you end up having anarchy. Dictatorship, ruled by a few, the government top heavy, handling everything else in the affairs of human beings. Now this is a fundamental principles of all cultural wars. You can't argue with it. I don't think many people ever tried to argue with it. And the question is, where are we? Ladies and gentlemen, we, right now, this moment, we are in that kind of battle in the day and age in which we are now living. And if we do not understand that, and we do not see the importance of this battle, because it is more vicious than any kind of context or any kind of war humanity has ever been in. Get that. Understand that. Comprehend that. This is where we are today. Now, who is our enemy? We've been infected with a disease. If we can discover the cause of that disease and we can decide who our enemy is, if you're in a battle, you better know who your opposition is, who you're fighting with. Our enemy is the devil. It's evil. It's Satan. And somebody said, oh, you mean you're going to bring out that guy in the red tights and the horns and the pitchfork and the hooves? Listen, Jesus met the devil head on there in the Garden of Gethsemane before the cross. Jesus encountered evil forces, demonic forces, all the way through his ministry, all the way through his life on this earth, and he confronted them. And he knew the devil because he created the devil. Whoa, time out. You mean Jesus created the devil? He certainly did. We know a little bit about that cosmic battle from the Bible, way above our pay scale, but that supernatural battle when the devil was created as an angel. And the devil and his entourage, they decided through pride, they wanted to run their own life, and he wanted to be God. And in that battle, he was thrown out of heaven, and therefore we have Satan, a fallen angel. Now, a lot of people think, here's God. Juxtaposed to God is Satan. Satan is evil and God is good. And that's the battle. No, Satan is not juxtaposed to God. Satan is smarter than we are, more powerful than we are, but he is an angel, not unlike Michael, who was an archangel. Satan would be juxtaposed to Michael. He's not omnipotent, omniscient, or omnipresent. Make no mistake about it. So we misunderstand that. Satan was a fallen angel, and therefore his purpose is to undercut and to destroy, to kill, to deceive, to malign, to slander all of us. And by the way, he doesn't come dressed like that in a red suit with a pitchfork and horns. He comes as a beautiful person, as a very congenial person, as a very sweet person, as a very warm, encouraging, cheerleading, someone we'd all want to listen to and learn from. An angel of light fallen. That is the forces of evil that we see. Satan, that is our enemy and all of his emissaries, all the demons, and they operate in a supernatural area and they seek to invade and destroy the lives of all of us who are created in the image of God. By the way, the 20th century, I believe, was the century of the devil. It's almost like the devil went before God and said, give me one century. All I want is one century. So the 20th century, it seems that the devil operated stronger in the 20th century than any other time in history. Well, where do you get that? Pol Pot, Cambodia, the killing fields. Stalin, Gulag, how many millions? Mao, how many millions? Idi Amin, Adolf Hitler. You go on and on. The Ukraine. Hitler, we know, purposely starved over 10 million in the Ukraine. They asked him about it. He said, 10 million is a statistic. Nobody pays any attention to that. But one person starved to death, oh, that brings emotion. Over 100 million people in the 20th century totally obliterated. Life was taken from them by demonic people. By demonic people. Normal human beings can't do that. This was Satan in the lives of those who destroyed many, thousands, millions. The 20th century, the bloodiest century of genocide in the history of humanity. It was, we might say, the devil's century. Who's our enemy? The devil. Then we've got to ask the question, what kind of war are we in? We're in a war. Let's look at the battlefield in which we're fighting this war. It's a different kind of battlefield. Very different kind of battlefield. I want you to look at Matthew chapter number 10. Jesus is speaking. He tells us about the battlefield. Listen, verse 26, therefore, do not fear them, for there is nothing concealed that will not be revealed or hidden that will not be known. Jesus said, when I tell you in the darkness, speak in the light. And what you hear whispered in your ear, proclaim upon the housetops. Do not fear those who kill the body, listen carefully, but are unable to kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. What's he saying? Don't worry about those who can kill our bodies. They're not made to last forever. We've talked about that. What is made to last forever is your soul and my soul. We've defined that anything that is not flesh is our soul. And therefore, we're in a war for soul. You see how much more critical it is. The battle we're in is not, you know, for our bodies. That's not the war we're in. It's a body for that soul, that part that will be with you and be with me forever and forever and forever. There's where the battle is. And that battle is 10 zillion times more critical than any human physical wars we find ourselves in. It's our soul. That's where the war is. And that is the most critical war that anybody can be. It's a battle for the soul, that intangible part of us. And we have in our world a sense of spirituality. The biggest religion in America is spirituality. And those who are spiritual people, they do not accept the soul as we do, because their Lord God Almighty is science, and science can't define it and see it and spell it out and put it out where we can all get a hold of it. You see, that's what happened. It is the soul. And when birth takes place, fire, passion comes out in every individual. That's our soul. What we do with that fire, what we do with that passion that's within every human being is so important. Billy Graham, he had that fire when he was born. And Billy Graham took that fire in his life, and when God called him and changed his life, he took that fire and he became Johnny One Note. Billy Graham had a chance to run with a very prominent candidate to be vice president of the United States. He turned it down. He had offers from colleges, universities, businesses, corporations that you would not believe on this earth, and he just turned his back on all of that. He said, I have one thing I do. I'm in the soul business for God, and that one thing that he did, that is true spirituality. By the same token, Janis Joplin. Janis Joplin was born, bang, she had that fire, gifted, creative, smart, passionate, but she was scattered all over the place. Drugs, sex, fun, literature, songs. Janis was gifted, greatly gifted, i.e. Billy Graham, but she got so scattered and so confused that all the lack of oneness. She was dead at 27. So we have this fire, but that fire has to be held together by the glue that Jesus Christ gives to every personality. So there is fire and there is glue. There is fire and there is water. You can take steel and put it in fire and you can bend it around, but water will take that and temper that and let it stay in place. We have to have both fire and continuity. Fire and continuity. It is our soul. And that is where the battle is for you and for me in this world. Our enemy is the devil. The battle is in spiritual areas. And we know the battle for the soul is what this cultural war is all about. Don't be misled. Then we ask, what are the weapons of the enemy? What are the weapons that Satan is using in this war? We talked about them. There's a battle for truth. It's amazing to me in the postmodern age how truth is totally confused, it's diluted, and truth becomes, yeah, whatever you want it to be. What would you like to be true? What has really happened? You see this? Oh, I don't know. I'm going to interpret it the way I want to interpret it. So truth is absolutely a major issue at this moment, this day and age. What is truth? Truth is under attack. Also, Satan has put peace banners all over the playing field, all over the battlefield, saying, let's make peace. Oh, yeah. What did Jesus say? He said, peace I bring to you, but not the peace that the world gives. His kind of peace is totally different, ladies and gentlemen. What kind of peace does he give us? The world says cessation of conflict. Okay, we're going to compromise. We're going to make peace. Here's God and Satan. Why don't they just get together? That would be the thing to do, wouldn't it? Oh, no. Jesus says, I come to bring peace in a different way than the world. What kind of peace did he bring? What kind of peace did he give to us? Peace with God through Christ. Peace with ourselves, we need it. And peace with other people. That's a supernatural peace that he brings to the table. And that's his weapon. What is the primary weapon that Satan uses? Satan wants more than anything else to destroy the family. How's that working out? How's that working out? The reason we're so dogmatic about marriages we conduct in this church is because we try to work clearly with the bride and the groom to let them know outside of the decision they make for Christ, this is the most life-changing, determinative decision they'll ever make. So we don't marry everybody who walks in the door. And a lot of the families get upset about it. That's okay. Unless we're marrying in Christ, we have seen through all of these years what happens. Satan is in the business of destroying the family. What weapon is he using primarily to destroy the family? We go right back. It is sex. Let me tell you something. Hear parents, hear the children. The sexual understanding of children as they move away different from their parents, it begins to change the family. And then the next generation, those children move further away from the sexual understanding of their parents, it even gets a greater distance. This is what is happening. This is what was happening. This is what's taking place. And the very core of the family, united in God, in Christ, one flesh, is being destroyed. That is the primary target of Satan in this whole universe, and he loves to attack families. Then we ask the question, how do we win the war?
You've been listening to The Winning Walk with Dr. Ed Young.
Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way he should go, even when he is old, he will not depart from it. Where did we go wrong? I've heard that question from far too many parents, usually in the middle of a crisis with their teenagers. Imagine a construction crew waiting until a building is half finished before laying the foundation. Yet that's what many parents do with their children. Training a child begins early in his life as parents build in them the foundation of a biblical worldview. Also, training up a child involves letting our kids see that your life and my life, we're built on the same biblical foundation. If they see little or no evidence of God's truth or consistency in our walk and in our talk as Christians, then they will write us off and our faith in Christ as phony, as artificial. So parents, make sure you're laying the foundation first, early in your children's lives and throughout their childhood, showing them what life in Christ looks like. Then you will experience the promise. Train up a child the way he should go. When he is old, he'll not depart from it. That works when we live it and we do train by word and by lifestyle.
We hope today's message has encouraged you in your winning walk with Christ. And we'd love to equip you even more by sending you Dr. Young's brand new 7-message series, Culture Clash. There's no doubt we're facing a culture war these days, but as Dr. Young shares in this series, instead of laying low, God is calling you to push back the darkness with the truth of His Word. Find out how when you get a copy of Culture Clash. Our thanks for your gift today to help keep this program strong and broadcasting all over the world. So call now to give and request your copy of Culture Clash. Call 1-800-350-WALK, 1-800-350-9255. You can also text the word winning to 41411. Text winning to 41411. Thanks for tuning in today on The Winning Walk. Come back tomorrow as Dr. Ed Young shares the price Christians will pay in fighting the culture war and why it's worth it.